Welcome to this special edition of the Active Photographer podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I've put together these extra shows, in addition to the regular weekly podcasts, in order to bring you all the conversations I recorded live at the Photography Show 2014. In this second edition, I'm talking with Lowepro, manufacturers of camera bags and cases, and X-Rite, who make colour measurement solutions such as the Colour Checker Passport. As ever, you can check out all the show notes to this and all other shows at theactivephotographer.com. Every year I catch up with the guys at Lowepro, and this is Tim Sadler, who you will have heard us having a good old banter. God, every year, Tim, we do this.
Yeah, I normally take about 40 or 50 minutes of the programme. It's only a special edition.
And yet you always tell me that you hate doing it.
I don't hate doing it. I just I'm challenged to such a professional working environment which you offer me.
So you seem to have a different description of your job every year. We're just going to call you the go-to guy for
56 countries.
56 countries. Yeah. There we go. So what are we going to talk about this year?
Oh, we've got some exciting developments once again for Lowepro. We're always continually evolving what we're doing, and we're looking at new markets and looking at what we can play with. The first thing I'll show is our new collection for action video. So this is going to be hitting the market in the next couple of weeks. You'll start seeing it in the UK stores. We've been working very closely with the likes of GoPro and Contour and Rollei and people like that around the world on a solution which fits all of their cameras. So we've got this case called the Dashpoint AVC. So from the outside, it's a hard case. It's got a nice, simple aesthetic. It doesn't have any shoulder straps or anything like that, but it's a bag-in-bag solution. We know with action camera products, point-of-view camera products, we're going to have them in our bags or in the car, and then you're going to stick them on your helmet or on your bike or snowboard or skateboard or whatever. So what you basically have is a solution for any size of action video camera, be it a GoPro, which is a square size, obviously, or a Contour, which is more of a bullet cam. And also we've got a very unique little solution here for your cables and accessories. And I can just show Giles here the imagery, but it's actually a little elasticated board which allows you just to stuff in extra batteries or remote controls or memory cards and just keep them in your case. So a nice, easy way to put
it. People that, if we remember back to the days of film, I think a lot of people listening to this are of the generation that they never shot film. But those of you that do, you remember you used to have those elasticated straps in your camera bag where you put a roll of film. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, we had them in the old commercial bags back in 1990s. The last generation of commercials with 35mm. We had a whole roll for about 10 little... film tubs. It's kind of a reiteration of that sort of idea. We've got two sizes in this collection, the ABC1, which will take one action camera and accessories, and then we've got the ABC2. And the ABC2 allows you to carry at least a couple of cameras or a set of accessories, including things like suction mounts, suction clamps, things like that, or indeed our new Joby action clamps, which allows you just to put things on park benches, on fences, or whatever is nearby to get that really exciting camera angle.
Because that's the big development over this past 12 months since we last spoke, is there's always been people wanting to do behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But as the technology gets cheaper and more accessible to people, everyone is thinking, well, okay, I always wanted to take a picture of my adventure, why not film it?
Yeah, well, video is the future. You know, at the end of the day, it's about the moving image. We're going to see, you've seen launches here, D4S, I'm sure you've had a big good play with that. But, it's all going to be pretty soon about the moving image. And you'll be grabbing still images from that moving image. So whether it be from an action camera or Google Glass or from a DSLR in the future, it's about the moving image. It's that much easier to set up something with continuous lighting and instead of just playing with this constant strobe effect.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that in mind, I'm just going to show you another little collection which we're launching in the UK and also over in America, WPPI, this year, is the Passport Series. The Passport Series, for many of your listeners, they'll know the Passport Sling Series. It's been out for a couple of years now. It's an asymmetric messenger-type bag which collapses flat for travel. So it allows you to take a camera out. So it's a bit more of a consumer end of the market. So sorry, your huge archaic D3 won't fit in there. But your D800 or your D610 or whatever is going to drop in there quite nicely. And it becomes a travel solution. But we've extended the family this year. We've got a messenger bag as well. Nice smart solution there. Nice, clean, simple bag, simple lines. Again, for a one camera, one solution, little laptop. Good work bag there. And we've even bought out a new backpack, the Passport Series backpack, and this is the smallest backpack we do in the Lopro range. Again, nice for personal items, but it's got a nice padded camera compartment in there for great travel options.
And that, again, is, you know, we all know, and regular listeners will know, that you have an extensive range now to suit pretty much every requirement. And something like this last bag that you've just shown me, it doesn't need to be, and we spoke about this over the last couple of days when we were just catching up, this whole idea of over-engineering a product. Yeah. Lopro don't do that. You know that there's something...
The next product I'll show you will be over-engineered.
You're about to blurt out the water. I was trying to help you. But, you know, on this model, it does what it needs to do. And you can see that even down to the zips, they're just nice, basic zips to allow quick access.
It's a simple product. Product for just keeping life simple. Keep it simple, stupid. It's the classic motto.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you can see on our newsstand here, it's we're going through themes. So we've gone from action video. That's in our outdoor area. I've just walked you through Passport. That's in our urban area. But I'm now going to show you our new Pro Roller line.
That's like a little adventure.
So as we walk through this far too busy stand, a very busy day at the photography show, the show formerly known as Focus on Imaging, just like Prince.
Can I just say, Tim is sashaying through the stand.
Sashaying?
Yes.
Well, this is our new Pro Roller AW series. So we invented the Pro Roller category quite a long time ago now, and this is the latest iteration. So I'm just going to show you, again, as your listeners will know, we have currently three products in the range, the X100, 200, and 300. This is a new model. So the same sizes, but a very, very new approach to it, completely redesigned. So from the outside, it's a brand new premium luggage aesthetic. We've got a brand new cage in there with ABEC 5 bearing wheels, the best wheels we can find anywhere in the world, made by BASF, a nice British company whose headquarters are near my house in Stockport. Marvelous. We have the ubiquitous AW cover dropping in the back there. We've got a brand new TSA approved lock on the outside. You'll see there. So if I set the...
And just explain, obviously people can't see this, but just describe that, because I've seen this a couple of times in passing, and it is something quite different to, you don't tend to see this on camera.
We're the first people to bring this through. So we've had TSA locks in our bags before, and we had the cable lock on the last series, but we've opted now for a zip lock, because we've just had feedback from customers, they wanted something a little bit more secure. So you can see that with the security code set, we can then drop the zips in into the lock there. We also have a separate lock here, so if you did want to lock it something, you can get another cable lock and lock it to a cage if you're on a train or if you're in an environment where you just want an extra bit of security.
Yeah.
On the outside, you'll also see we've moved the tripod mount to the other side, so it gives you time to cinch down that tripod or a lighting stand, laptop sleeve, and personal items in the front of the bag. Now, where the magic happens on this bag is on the inside. It's a brand new internal system. Now, for those of you who will know Lopro for our ages, we've been around for a very long time, well over 40 years now. We've had lots of different interiors. We've had blue interiors.
Yeah.
We've had very, very dark grey interiors. This is a new light grey interior. We've gone a little bit lighter on interiors, and this is the brand new Max Fit system. Okay, you're the first person who I've spoken to about this, first journalist who's got a sneak peek of this. That's how important you are.
Did you just call me a journalist?
Well, you know, I like to sometimes extend the reach of my
language.
It's
either a compliment or I ought to take you outside afterwards. Okay.
Okay, so brand new MaxFit system. Now, what a lot of people don't really understand about loading camera bags is the protection is on the outside of the bag. That's the knocks and bashes, bumps and scrapes you need to protect your camera equipment for. So we have a very strong ABS plastic exterior to this bag, which will protect your cameras on the interior. When it comes to the interior padding, that is just to secure the product, okay? Secure the lens, the camera body, the filter pack. You don't need to pad it. That's just wasted space. If you see these other bags who've just got huge, big, thick bits of padding, what are you padding against? No one's hitting your cameras when they're in the bag.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is secure the items. We've got a brand new padding system. So this is going to be copied by everyone. That's how awesome it is. Every Lopro product gets copied by everyone. But this is a new MaxFit system. I'm just showing you this new bit of padding here. So you'll see the Velcro tabs are actually inboard. Okay? So they fold in. That's very, very important and very underrated, because once you put the camera system in here, you can move the pad around without the Velcro grabbing.
For years, I have had to manually fold stuff in and slide it along. Yep.
So when you drop a set of lenses here or a filter pack or a camera body, you can go right up tight close and then you just deploy the Velcro. Mm. Now, something else which you're not noticing here, very subtle, is that if you look at the shape of the tabs, you're actually using the sheer strength of the Velcro tab to create a hammock. If you put that the other way around, or if indeed you don't have the inboard tabs, you will see that you're actually not working with the Velcro. So if I put that exactly the same, opposite way around, see how it moves down.
Yeah.
Now, all the other competitors, they don't understand that. They can put them in any way. We actually are looking at the sheer strength of Velcro. There's nothing different to this Velcro from anyone else's. We just designed it so it works far, far better inside of the bag.
Well, it's brilliant.
Again, with the interior, it's ultra, you know, compatible to everything. We've now moved to a system where you can modify it and carry two bodies, pro bodies at the top of the bag and have lenses mounted down. So you have two long bits of glass. You can add pro video in this. Something new on the pro rollers as well, we've got added depth. We've got an increased depth because of something very clever. Now, if you remember on the pro rollers, which I would have shown you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Back when we were much younger men,
far better hair then. Well, sort of hair.
You remember that I showed you the reserve pack.
Yeah.
So the fact that the interior, whole camera interior on this Pro Roller family unzips. Now, if you look at it, you'll see we've actually increased the volume by going into the handles. It's quite a hard one to explain to your listeners, but you'll see we've got that additional depth on the interior so we can get deeper bits of glass. So if you look at something like a Sigma 150 to 500, it's a big fat bit of glass. We've managed to increase the depth there to drop it in there and give you more volume. And again, looking at the Pro Roller case, it's got the additional zip cover on that, and you can put your clothes in that if you're checking in.
The easiest way to describe this case is it does look like a regular suitcase. A hardened soft shell, as it were.
Yeah.
And that is never a bad thing when it comes to camera bags, because if you're going through public spaces, a lot of people don't like to be seen to be carrying a camera bag because it attracts too much attention.
Yeah.
And this is just nicely... It's a premium
luggage aesthetic. Yeah. You know, it's trying to look like, and it is, a high-end bit of luggage for the working professional or very keen enthusiast.
And one thing I want to ask you about is to do with these handles, because I was talking to someone... I'll be honest, I forget the company, but sort of some
pretenders of the crown, yes.
There you go. And they were saying that, with these handles that come out of the back of these cases, they have to flex so much like this. That's just the design. And actually, look, what it does, it saves your wrists. And I'm thinking...
Oh, that's make-believe.
And I'm thinking you're just saying that because you know it shouldn't wobble so much when it's extended.
There are limitations in design. Now, we are constantly looking at everything on all our bags, how we can do things better. We've worked with a lot of different designs. We've tried one central arm. We've tried external arms.
Yeah.
And at the moment, these are the best arms which we can make for the bag. They're also used by normal luggage manufacturers. So they're tried and tested in normal, everyday life. So yes, unfortunately, there is a little bit of movement, but that allows quick and easy access of the handle up and down. If you start making it tighter, it starts making it a very stiff proposition and also a very heavy proposition. So there's always trade-offs. There's always limitations in design. If we made the perfect camera bag, then we'd have to just give up. It's always an evolving concept.
So with these, of course, one of the biggest issues with any roller case is the moment you step off that concourse or the train or anything, you try and turn the corner too quick and it tips over.
Yeah, so what we discounted using a single arm. Because a single arm, you get the rotation. And we did look at doing external arms outboard of the bag, because then it's ultra stable. But then we couldn't really get one which was solid. It had too much flex. Because what a lot of people don't realise, when you compare it to your personal luggage, camera equipment's so much heavier.
Yeah.
And when we go to outboard, they tend to be a thinner construction, and they were just bending and flexing too much. So you were getting a real big flex across the shape of the actual arm. This is a compromise. So it's neither fully outboard, neither fully inboard, and just gives you quite. It's quite, even with no camera kit, it's quite actually hard to get it over onto one wheel.
Yeah, that's a really nice. Because I remember the previous ones were like a blue colour, weren't they? The roller cases, or blue or black.
We've had various different
interpretations. And I just it's a nice evolution seen. And I probably say this every year. What I love about LoPro, having used your products as a consumer, even before as professional.
You're professional?
Apparently. Come on, you call me a journalist just now. Let's just put any moniker on it.
Legend, I believe. Legend. Industry legend.
I'll have that in writing.
Stalwarts, yes. Pillar. Pillar of the community.
Oh, what, sorry?
A pillar of the community, yes. Yes.
Anyway, back in the room. The evolution of your cases, they are logical. And to see, like just you talking about the handles, you can see that you've taken on the feedback. Every company should be taking on feedback and what have you. But LoPro always seem to... You might say, well, we don't always get it right by our own admission. However, in the most part, I think you do. I think you listen to what people say, even down to those catches that lock. Because we've all done that, where we've had to adapt bags to fit our own...
It's quite interesting when it comes to product design. We're still a relatively... We're obviously the global giant in the business. You know, we drive significant growth every year, but we're still a relatively small company. I mean, I sit on the global product committee. There's only three of us. I represent the whole of the Europe, Middle East and Africa. I have a colleague that does the whole of the Pacific Rim, and another colleague who does the whole of the Americas. Just three of us representing those regions. So we feed back through all the sales teams, all the marketing teams, all the events. It's not just the photography show. It's currently WPPI in America at the moment, in Vegas. So that's a big feedback channel for us, and we feed that into product design. Now, what we try not to do is make a bag by averages. We try and keep everyone happy. You make an average product. So we do have to think a little bit outside the box or outside the bag sometimes and try things, push the market, push people to consider new options. But then we also have to listen. You know, and if we want a bag a little bit deeper because someone wants to carry a tripod mount on the bottom of their D3X, then we have to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, with these cases, I'm at the moment, I'm sort of in the market for a new portable lighting kit, and I've spoken to various people. And so I would be thinking, a lot of these cases come in sort of like a hard case, which is great if you're carrying it, but the moment I want to go up a steep hillside, you can't do that. So I have to think, do I put it in a rucksack?
And
fair enough, there are options there, but for transporting through train stations, this, that and the other, you've thought about where, with these cases, where you could put, like you said, a couple of nano stands, which are nice lightweight stands. I would imagine on the surface, because they're so compact, you would get two of those on the side
relatively
to go with
easy,
the two heads that are in the case, so
you
get your whole... Because if people listening to this, they are thinking about lighting as well. You would get your whole two-head portable power pack lights
quite a lot of our pros around the world who roll with two pro rollers. One with the camera kit, one with the lighting kit. And that's their setup. You know, they may well have assistants and they're taking a lighting kit with them, but effectively they're running two pro rollers. And that's their whole portable studio. It's their solution. And we're there to help the professional photographer with their solutions.
Excellent. Tim, it has been an absolute pleasure. Well, for me, certainly.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, Giles. Always a pleasure.
Let's throw out a few links, or a link, where people should go, anything that's new online that people can check out.
Always go to straight to our homepage, which is lowpro.com. Mm-hmm. And from that, you'll find links to our Facebook and Twitter. It's Lowpro Bags on Facebook. You'll see information from not just WPPI, but also the photography show there.
Lovely. Tim, I shall leave you to get back to your people.
My people.
Man of the people.
My public. Where are my public?
And I'm sure before long we'll catch up. And I know that I've been speaking to you guys about some stuff that I'm going to be doing this year.
Good
and
stuff.
Sure we'll team
Good
up
stuff.
Along the way on that. So, again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm on the X-Lite stand, and I have with me Ashley Bowman, who is their technical specialist. And I know a lot of you guys are very interested about colour calibration, and you want to know how you should go about it, why you should go about it. It's one of those things that maybe you take for granted, or you think your camera is perfectly calibrated and then might be disappointed with the results you get from the lab or seeing your pictures on the screen. So, Ashley, let's have a talk about... We're going to be talking about the X-Lite products, of course, but just as a general starting point, let's talk about colour.
Okay. Well, colour, we're basically going to look at the colour workflow of a typical photographer. That's input, monitor profiling, and output. So we have at X-Rite various products across the range, different price ranges and different quality and, you know, professional status and what have you, to get the best colour from your systems. Now, input profiling, we've got a system called the Colour Checker Passport. That will help you get good white balance from your images, but also profile and describe how your camera sees colour. Now, that could be used either within Adobe Lightroom or Adobe Photoshop. Now, Lightroom, it's the simplest side of the process, because that comes with a dedicated plugin. That takes the initial photograph of the colour checker passport within the lighting conditions you're working in, and then helps you set white balance and colour profiling. When you go into the software, you essentially just go file, export with preset, and use the colour checker passport plugin to create the profile.
And it's worth saying, we have in front of us, just to set the scene, we have an NEC monitor here, and everything is set up, so the appearance in Photoshop and Lightroom you're going to be familiar with. So sorry, do continue.
Yeah. So once the plugin is set up, you name the profile and it goes away. And on the Colour Checker Passport, you have a set of spectral colours within there that are so placed over the colour space to give an even set of colours it can then use to calibrate your camera. What it will then do is go away, and each one of those colours it will sample. The software knows what those colours should be. It samples what your camera's seeing and produces an input profile to then adjust your images within the Lightroom application. So once you go from there, you can then start working on your image. Initially, you can use the standard white balance tool within Lightroom to pick the white balance picker and click on one of the neutral grays across the bottom strip of the Colour Checker Passport. I usually use a fourth one along, which is your old-fashioned 18% grey.
And so that's worth mentioning, actually. Regular listeners will know that in the absence of a snazzy gizmo like this, what I would typically use is an 18% grey card, the neutral grey. I sometimes have put business cards alongside it, because as a starting point, I know I know what colours those are. But yeah, your neutral grey, that's where you want to be aiming.
Yeah. So once we've done the neutral grey, in the image I've got on the screen now, we've got a model that's against the window, but also they have lit her face, obviously, doing the fill-in with tungsten light. So she's looking a bit boiled, but after neutral calibration, her skin tone's much more natural, and we're pulling the best colour out of the image. From there, we can then look at the camera calibration settings within Lightroom. It's probably something most people have never looked before, or may if they've looked and then closed it quickly because they don't know really what's going on. But within there, that's where the profile we've created with the Colour Checker Passport will sit. And we just go into there and select the profile we've created and click on the profile, and you'll see... Well, it's difficult for you to see when it's just audio, but you'll see much better separation, especially within blues. Yeah. I'm using an image that shot off a D3, and they're notoriously bad in separating blues. So you tend to get a much better contrast separation within blues, and also reds and greens as well. So what you're doing with the Colour Checker Passport is getting to a base level for any image you shoot. Any image you shoot within the same lighting conditions you took the Colour Checker Passport, you can actually then synchronise that with all the other images. So you can create a base level no matter what or where you've taken an image.
And of course, when you're actually placing this device in the scene to have as your reference card, is there a procedure to make the angle that it should be held, or the way it's obviously the lighting is whatever's in the room, yes, or what have you, but is there an optimum angle, for example, to hold it?
You should hold it really at 90 degrees to the camera to get the best on there, so you're not getting an angle view. But also it's important to evenly light the colours, because if you've got shadow falling across half the image, you're going to get a skewed profile. Yeah. So it's just getting evening lighting across it, and it just works very well really in any lighting condition.
So if we look a bit more specific, and I'll use myself as an example, regular listeners will know that I have a slight colour blindness to the green and red, which is quite common among men, so I gather that's what I like to believe anyway. Is there anything specific within the settings between the Colour Checker Passport and then within the software that we're using that is tailorable to that, or is it just how you know how to use your cameras and how to interpret how you see the world and how the camera records it, and then how you adjust it in post-production to get the most of it?
Yeah, there's nothing built into it that will account for people's colour acuity, really.
Yeah.
It will always get it to an absolute base level, because all colour management is colour by numbers. So it's using specific presets on there to balance everything through. Now, if you're using a lab, they will tend to use a colour temperature of D65 to profile and process their images. If you're not using that same setting, maybe on your monitor or when you're processing your images yourself on your own computer, you could then get a colour shift. So controlling your workflow on the colour management throughout your system is really important, so you don't waste time and money in producing something that is incorrect.
And this is one of the things that I've been very fortunate over the years. I haven't come to blows with clients about colour. But there is something, I mean, I'm freely open with all this information, and I don't mind telling people, I always, of course, have a contract with every client that I shoot for. And there is a line within the contract that says, look, the pictures are calibrated, I know them to be prepared, calibrated, what have you. I cannot guarantee what your monitor might look like, and when it's with prints, I know how my lab works, and what have you. It's, I think with colour, there are two things. When you're shooting pictures just for yourself and showing them to whoever, there is a confidence aspect. If you know that the colours are right, you can take them into any environment, those pictures, if it's prints, for example, and you know that actually they're right. When it comes to a professional element, this is where the importance of kits like yours goes up a whole other level to give you peace of mind and some fallback is what it is, I guess, you know. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, even if you're just shooting for yourself, for your friends and family, why wouldn't you want to make sure that the colours are how you want it?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Well, the thing is, in days past, when people use film, I'm showing my age now.
I remember, a lot of listeners probably don't.
Well, you weren't the manufacturer. You bought the film, you sent the film off, all the processing was done for you, and you got images back that were acceptable and were fine. Now, you're the manufacturer. You're taking the images, you're editing them, you're printing them. If you're not doing that and controlling the colour flow through your workflow, then you're just putting your finger in the air and thinking, I think that's going to be right. Or relying on maybe the printer manufacturers, the paper manufacturers, to provide a way of producing that properly. Well, put it this way. I work for X-Rite. We wouldn't have a company if the printer manufacturers did things that worked.
Yeah.
All printers are slightly different. All monitors are slightly different. So you've got to control that colour management through your workflow to get the best from your images.
Yeah.
It removes all that frustration of taking good pictures, editing them, and then maybe not printing them out exactly as they should be.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key reasons why people don't print, because they're not satisfied in the final result. If you're colour managing your workflow, you'll get much happier results at the end of the day.
And I have to say, there are times when, through necessity, I have to edit through the night or work late into the night. And you think, right, I'll just go and put the kettle on, have a break. And you'll come back and you'll think, I'm sure those colours are right. And it does knock your confidence. But then just going back, if you know that actually that is right, it's just because you've been out into a kitchen or into a lobby or something and the lighter halogens or what have you. You know, you just come back, you readjust, you let your eyes settle down again.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you think, yeah, that is right because I know it's right. And, you know,
again, you can be confident that those changes you make in a colour managed workflow are going to get transferred from your camera to your print. From your camera to your monitor to your print. So you've got that workflow nicely, you know, tuned for producing the best images you can.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate the time
of anyone that I talk to. So let's throw out a web link. Anyone, this will all be in the show notes, of course, but anyone that wants to find out more, see the products we're talking about and so forth, where should they go? The
best place to go to is www.xritephoto.eu.
Okay.
So that's xritephoto.eu.
And for any of you that are, and a lot of people listen as you're driving and what have you, if you didn't get that, don't worry, the link will be in the show notes. And I'm actually going to be testing one of these products in the coming weeks and months and what have you. So if you've got any questions, I am not the expert, this gentleman is. However, if you want to ask how I'm getting on with it and how it's affected my workflow, such as it is, you can catch up with me in the usual fashions and I'll be happy to answer any questions and tell you what a great product it is, I'm sure, because I have some experience of this. A colleague has used one, and when I was just helping him with a shoot, I could see the benefits. So I'm really excited, actually, to put it in my own hands and see how we do. But for now, actually, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
And enjoy the rest of the show.
Yes, only a few hours to go,
isn't it? Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
Remember, You can check out all the show notes to this and other specials, as well as the regular weekly shows, at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.